TED Audio Collective.
A future powered entirely by renewable and green energy may seem like a far-fetched idea, something out of a sci-fi movie or a series like Man Who Fell to Earth. Maybe you're imagining some clandestine energy source that the good guys have to shut down in order to save the world. But think of all the tech advances over just the past decade. We've watched electric vehicles roll out en masse. We've seen large tech companies like Apple and Meta build out data storage facilities with net zero energy consumption. But on this road to renewables, we've also seen roadblocks and fierce political battles. Sometimes it feels like the only thing to do is throw your hands up and wonder how on earth we're going to get to the climate resilient future we need. Where are those sci-fi good guys now? I'm Sherelle Dorsey, and this is TED Tech. Today, we'll be hearing from green energy entrepreneur Vitea Cohen, who submits that we might be closer to that future than we think. This show is brought to you by Schwab. With Schwab Investing Themes, it's easy to invest in ideas you believe in, like artificial intelligence, big data, robotic revolution, and more. Choose from over 40 themes. Buy as is or customize the stocks in a theme to fit your goals. Learn more at schwab.com/thematicinvesting.
Hackers and cybercriminals have always held this kind of special fascination.
Obviously, I can't tell you too much about what I do.
It's a game. Who's the best hacker? And I was like, well, this is child's play.
I'm Dina Temple Raston, and on the Click Here podcast, you'll meet them and the people trying to stop them.
We're not afraid of the attack. We're afraid of the creativity and the intelligence of the human being behind it.
Click Here, stories about the people making and breaking our digital world.
AI machines.
Satellite.
Engine ignition.
Click Here.
And liftoff.
Click Here. Every Tuesday and Friday, wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going on a field trip together. We're going back to middle school, to chemistry class. Do you remember this? It was an experiment we did with salt water, a battery, and two pencils. Guess what? The reaction you witnessed then is a key to tackling climate change. Yes, at 14 years old, we already knew. And today, we have the means to replace fossil fuels with green hydrogen. Let's walk through this. The experiment I'm alluding to is called water electrolysis, and it is a way to create hydrogen. On Earth, hydrogen is found in the greatest quantities in water, H2O. And when you use renewable electricity to split water into H and O, that's green hydrogen. And the device creating this reaction is called an electrolyzer. There are other colors of hydrogen out there, but they use fossil fuels. So we're not going to talk about those today. They'll only make climate change worse. We are talking about green hydrogen, which is 100% clean. And the quickest path to scaling green hydrogen is by mass producing electrolyzers. But first, why do we need green hydrogen? When we look at our global energy consumption today, only 20% comes in the form of electricity or electrons. This means the remaining 80% of our world's energy use is in the forms of molecules. And while the world is making rapid progress in greening our electricity, we need to look towards our molecules as well. Think about your industry, transport, heating and cooling sectors. They're all powered by molecules. And yes, this means largely by fossil fuels, coal, oil, and gas. We won't be able to electrify all of our sectors. And here's why. Let's start with an example from the industrial sector. Molecules create the reaction, not electrons. To make steel the old way, we first mine iron ore, then burn coal to remove the oxygen from the iron mix. 7 to 9% of our world's CO2 emissions come from this process. It's the coal that provides the molecule, creating the reaction to get rid of the oxygen. Electrons can't do that. But what they can do is power the device that creates green hydrogen. And this clean molecule will create the reaction, attract the oxygen, and emit only water in the process. So by changing the process, we can eliminate up to 95% of our CO2 emissions. And today, major European steel manufacturers are already building green hydrogen-based steel production processes. Yeah. That's just one of the countless industrial processes, small and big, that need a molecule. Another example, let's say that we can't use electricity for everything, is weight. Take the aviation sector. An 80-passenger aircraft, flying on batteries, kind of impossible. One would need more batteries just to fly the battery. Hydrogen planes, though, they're taking off emission-free. And these are just two examples of how we can end our reliance on fossil fuels. The world is turning to green hydrogen because it is effectively coupling those hard-to-decarbonize sectors with green electricity. An electrolyzer connected to solar and wind power generation is transforming green electrons into green molecules. Green hydrogen is transforming our renewable electricity into an energy carrier that is extremely versatile. And today, this clean molecule is already being used in a wide range of applications. It can be combusted directly as a fuel and emit zero carbon emissions. It's also being turned into hydrogen-derived fuels like green ammonia, green methanol, which can fuel global shipping. Green hydrogen is being stored across seasons without losing energy. And it can then be used in a fuel cell to create electricity, emitting only water. Hydrogen is one of the most energy-dense molecules. And by mass, it contains 3 times as much energy than diesel. So you might be wondering, well, why aren't we using this already everywhere? And so previously, the reason was the cost of green electricity. But that's no longer the bottleneck. So what's the challenge? It's the speed, scale, and cost of making these green hydrogen generators. Luckily, people are already working on making green hydrogen a reality. Because to make green hydrogen the fuel source of the future, it needs to be cheaper than fossil fuels. And this means electrolyzers are going to need to be really, really cheap. We started Enaptor in 2017 with this one goal in mind and urgency in our hearts. And so we chose a means that is a bit different from how others in the industry proceed. We turned to economic history for approaches that scaled fast and reduced prices significantly. And the answer was clear. If you want to take a solution around the globe as quickly as possible, you need to make it a standardized, mass-produced commodity, a product that's easy to make and use. And so some believe we need larger machines, but we believe the electrolyzer should be a standardized, mass-produced commodity, a product that can make green hydrogen anywhere for anyone. So to better understand our approach, let me draw an analogy. Mainframe computers, they were considered the future of computing. They were huge and complex equipment, and they were designed for businesses only. Then came the PC, and at first, people laughed and wondered, why would we ever need such a tiny computer? But ultimately, it disrupted the industry. And today, data centers, they use blade servers. Why? Because the PC became a compact, standardized, and mass-producible product that was cheap to make, easy to build, and that could be used in any kinds of context. It's time to do this with green hydrogen. To this end, Enaptor is designing all of its electrolyzers as products and not projects. At the heart of our electrolyzer is an electrolysis core, generating green hydrogen. And it is the foundation for all of our products. And we're taking these core stacks and other components of our electrolyzers into mass production. And so, instead of building larger electrolyzers, We're building compact ones that can be combined to achieving any hydrogen quantity needed. And we believe this is the quickest way to scale green hydrogen and drive down its price. And the next step is going into mass production. And it's going to be fully powered by renewables, of course. And that's where we'll be tackling speed, scale, and cost. By focusing on one single core size, we can leverage massive economies of scale and drive down the price of green hydrogen. Because that's what it's all about, making green hydrogen cheaper than fossil fuels. We have the means to make green hydrogen the fuel source of the future. It's time to listen to our 14-year-old selves and the 14-year-olds of today. Our generation has a unique opportunity. It's time for the next industrial revolution. We can build our world's energy supplies sustainably, made of a lot of green electricity and a wave of green hydrogen molecules. This is how we end the fossil fuel era. Thank you.
A completely green future, mostly powered by green hydrogen, is possible, Cohen says. But I'm still skeptical about how this can play out in real time. Especially when, as Cohen herself points out, green hydrogen cannot apply to every industry. Yes, mass production and distribution of a green energy source can reduce the overall cost of adoption, but that's only as these technologies become commonplace. Similar to solar power and wind energy, and even lithium-ion batteries. So maybe we are closer to that green energy future than it seems. But there are still many questions when it comes to making green energy a solution for how we currently power our world. And while leaders like Cohen work on answers, maybe there are everyday solutions, ones the rest of us can make on a personal level that would help, including reducing our flying time so as to reduce overall plane carbon emissions. Or if we scale up from the individual level to the community, maybe it's designing more walkable cities, protecting green space, investing in public transportation. We need visions like Cohen's in a sustainable future. But it's going to take a lot more than vision. We need industries to work together in ways they never have before. And we need to change the way we individually move through the world too. This is big stuff, but the good guys are coming. They're people like Cohen, and people like you and me. TED Tech is part of the TED Audio Collective. This episode was produced by Isabel Carter, who also wrote it with me, Sherelle Dorsey. Our editor is Jimmy Gutierrez, and the show is fact-checked by Mateus Salas. Special thanks to Farah Desgrange for her support as a project manager. I'm Sherelle Dorsey. Let's keep digging into the future. Join me next week for more.